As I just said to Ray, speaking of sucking dicks, welcome back to the Renaissance, episode 114.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
How are you this week, Tonto?
I'm doing okay. We had some snow days. That was fun getting out the sled, and now the temperature's back.
Wow, I saw video. That's incredible. Like, you're doing that in your backyard.
Yeah. So, and now it's sunny and 53. So, no, the world's not ended because of climate change. Who knows what's going to come next week? But it was fun. The girls enjoy it. Everybody had a good time, and I survived. You saw the video where I almost died. I can't stress that enough. Kiki tried to take me out with her sled, but I jumped 4 feet into the air, kind of like a hero, kind of like Spider-Man, and I survived.
As I pointed out, I'm calling bullshit on that because that would mean you jumping taller than your own head.
But the point is, I did it inspired by trying to save my own life. So
it's like you hear those stories of car accidents and mothers and the babies are trapped and they flip the car over with Incredible Hulk strength. That was
same thing.
You pulled a bit of that out.
But,
yeah.
But more important than a baby, it was me that I saved. So
same size. Let's go back a step. You just said climate change isn't ending the world, really?
No, it is. I'm sorry. I meant to say that. That was sarcasm.
Oh.
That was sarcasm.
Oh, I thought that was your expert scientific opinion.
Snow one day, nice weather the next. Anyway, sorry.
On to more important things, Ray. In April of 1476, about a week before his 24th birthday, Leonardo da Vinci took it up the bum.
It was his birthday present.
To himself. Yeah.
Yes.
He went out and got himself a 17-year-old male prostitute.
Oh, those are the days.
And said, give it to me, baby. Give it to me.
Or take it. I don't know. I wasn't there.
We don't really know. Maybe he was giving, maybe he was taking.
A little bit of both.
All we know is that he was accused of engaging in sodomy.
Yes.
With 17-year-old male prostitute Jacopo Soltarelli.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Now, what do we know about Jacopo Soltarelli, Ray?
I only know two things. One, he worked in a goldsmith shop. And two, he had the sweetest ass on this side of the Mississippi. And that's saying something because I don't know why, but that's a pretty big area. Anyway, sweet ass Jacopo, I think, was on his business card.
I think that's what Soltarelli means in Italian, salty ass.
It's nuts. Yeah. Some people like salty, some people like sweet. I get you.
Yeah, well, sometimes you want to lick, sip, suck, right? You need to. Not many people know that's where that slogan comes from. Yeah. Lick, sip, suck. It comes from Florence, and that's what they did with male prostitutes.
So Jacopo walks up to Leonardo, and he says, what do you want for your birthday, lipstick or suck? And he said, I want all three. All right, I'm your man. Barely legal boy. I don't know what to call him, 17.
Leonardo whipped down his trousers, got his salt shaker, put a bit of salt on his dick, cut up a lime, and said, all right, this is your reward after you lick and sip.
He carefully cut up a lime and sucked his penis. Right.
With his penis. He's Leonardo da Vinci. He can do anything.
Now. Watch this.
Yeah.
But remember what they say. If you love your work, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. So maybe Jacopo was into it. I don't know. I'm not judging. Others were judging.
I also read that salty ass.
Right.
Wore all black, was a bit of a goth, listened to The Cure.
Put black around his eyes, red around his lips. I got you.
Liked to self-harm, liked to cut himself. Had tattoos of, the Virgin Mary.
Right.
And Elliot Smith
on
his other arm. Frank Sinatra,
I don't know. He's old school. What? He likes to kick an old school. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Soltarelli's name was apparently known to authorities because another man had been convicted of sodomy with him earlier the same year. Now, we've talked about homosexuality in Florence a lot. We know that it was extremely common, extremely popular.
Yeah.
We know that around about this time in the 1470s, 1480s, you had your Savonarola. Yes. You know, causing trouble in starting to cause trouble in Florence. And, you know, one of his big issues was the prevalence of the homosexuals in Florence.
Driven crazy.
You know, he knew that Jesus wasn't going to come until got rid of the gays.
Yes, as long as you're the coming, gays. I'm not going to come, period.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, 1476, Savonarola was still in Bologna. He only went to Bologna. He left home, wrote the letter to his father saying, fuck you, right. I'm giving myself to God because I can't get laid. That was in 1475. So 1476, bit early for Savonarola, but, you know, we know that a bit later on he turned up 10 years later and this was his big deal. Anyway, the allegation against Leonardo was placed in something called a tamburo. What's a tamburo, right?
I like that. That was the letter drums, which specifically were there for people to drop in little warnings or notices or receipts of moral charges. Hey, I want to accuse Cameron Riley of being a Chinese communist sympathizer, pinko bastard.
Misogynist.
Thank you. Yeah, please help me.
Woman-hating.
Right.
Anti-Semitic. Who's fucking apologist for communist genocide.
And we know the Jewish lasers are going to get him any day now. But the point is, I would write all this up against you, drop it in there, and then it's time for the authorities to look into the matter. And so that is, like you said, that's what happened against...
Where was the tamburo?
Oh, I don't know. Was it? Please tell me it wasn't in a church or near a church, but was it near the government house? I don't know.
It was at the front of the Palazzo del Signoria, the council offices. Yeah, gotcha. And it was a letter drum, tamburo is a drum. You get drums called tamburo. Like, so it was a letter drum,
right?
Yeah. Turned it upside down. Yeah, turned it upside down, and you could play it like a drum or a tambourine, whatever you wanted.
Sorry.
The letter said that Saltarelli was party to many wretched affairs and consents to please those persons who request such wickedness of him.
Well, they're paying. So, he performs.
Four young men were accused of engaging in sexual services. Wow. Among them, Leonardo di Ser Piero da Vinci, who lives with Andrea de Verrocchio.
His name.
Now, the officers of the night, it was their job to hunt down the homosexuals and vampires, who we both know only come out at night. Their job to investigate it, and they probably, according to people who know such things, would have imprisoned Leonardo and the other young men for a day or two while they investigated the matter.
Yeah, you can't have them skipping town while they're under investigation. So they put them away. They start to investigate. Fortunately for Leo and the three others, no witnesses came forward because you can't just drop a piece of paper and someone goes to jail. There actually has to be due diligence. There has to be an investigation into this. There has to be some kind of evidence. And so no witnesses came forward, and so these guys are let off, but with a warning.
Yeah, no witnesses came forward, and the other problem was you could secretly drop allegations against people into the tamburo, but for accusations of sodomy, they had to be signed.
Oh. Okay.
And this one was not.
So they got to investigate.
Well, they got off because, A, there were no witnesses, and B, it wasn't signed. Okay. You can't just run around accusing people of taking it up the ass, Ray.
You can't just run around and say this election was stolen from me without any proof, Cam. Mm.
Yeah. You can't run around and say, you know, Cameron just believes everything the Chinese officials say when I specifically said at the beginning of the bullshit filter.
Right.
There are probably lies being told on all sides, propaganda on all sides. It's our job to sort of try and listen to all of them and try and figure out what seems to be most likely to be true. I go to the fucking effort of saying that, and then people go, why do you just believe everything the Chinese say? I just fucking said I don't. Oh, Christ. Right. Why do I even bother?
Until I cash the checks, I'm going to pretend to be neutral.
Until they send me the checks.
I'm going to be neutral.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not looking for a lot of people. Anyway.
Yeah. Hmm.
So no witnesses,
safe passage.
No one
checks
signed.
And safe passage. That's
right. And what was the third reason? One of the guys whose daddy was a part of an important family who had married into the Medici clan. So between those three things, Leo gets off. No pun intended. However, there is still this accusation against him and the others, kind of hanging in the air.
Who was the guy?
Who was the guy what?
Who had connections to the Medici.
Ooh, tell me.
Why don't you know? I know. Why don't you know?
I will know as soon as you tell me. Why do you drag this out? The listeners don't like that.
No, but I do. Like seeing you squirm, you toad. One of the men was Leonardo Tornabuoni.
Oh, I've heard that name.
Yeah, Lucrezia Tornabuoni was Lorenzo de Medici's mother.
Ah.
So we don't know where Leonardo fit into the Tornabuoni family, but they were a very wealthy family connected by marriage into the Medici. So strings were pulled. Yes. The case was dismissed with the condition that no further accusations were made.
Oh, thank God.
So Leonardo took the warning and kept his nose clean from that moment on. Unfortunately, it was only his nose he kept clean, not his dick, because a month or two later, the same group of men and salty ass were accused in another anonymous letter dropped into the tamburo. But again, no witnesses came forward, and it was set aside again with the same conditions.
Right.
Listen, we told you last time, stop touching men's asses, Leonardo. Look at them, draw them.
Right.
Don't no lips, licks, and suck. Okay? You get it?
Got it. However, if you'll just look here, Your Majesty, see my calendar? The third of every month, the four of us get together and we do an end run on that young man and we all have a good time. He gets paid. We all have a good time. No harm, no foul. For a couple of days, you're a little sore and then we move on. So this is going to happen again. Just quit bringing us to the courthouse, if you please.
Well, actually, this second accusation is the last time Leonardo is publicly accused or charged with homosexuality. And it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of debate in historians about his sexuality from that time on. 30 years later, Da Vinci himself wrote in one of his notebooks, "When I made a Christ child, you put me in prison. And now if I show him growing up, you will do worse to me."
Ooh.
Fairly cryptic comment, but the suggestion is that perhaps Saltarelli had modelled for Leonardo in one of his depictions of a young Jesus. So he's saying, you know, I drew this Jesus and I drew a naked man and you accused me of homosexuality. When really I just drew one. But generally historians seem to think that he was a homosexual. He wrote also in his notes, "As I've told you before, I am without any of my friends. If there is no love, what then?"
Right.
He was never connected to any women sexually. And or romantically, historians seem to think that he was definitely gay. Didn't bother to hide it, but also didn't bother to proclaim it.
Yeah.
Some historians think from that moment after these allegations came through, he remained celibate for the rest of his life to avoid getting himself into trouble. But I suspect that the scholars who say that are probably Christians who don't want to think of the greatest artist in human history as being a dick sucker.
Or sucky.
Right. Yeah, well, sucky. Oh, yeah. But generally, I think that most of the books that I read suggest that he remained an active homosexual for the rest of his life. He just was very, very careful.
Right. Well, I guess my thing is...
You in Vegas.
Oh, well.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah. No, I enjoy a crowd, audience. It's hard for me to picture this guy being an artist, which means there's a certain amount of passion. Obviously, he's talented. We've covered that. He's in his mid-20s. We know he's going to be drawing a lot of nude young men over the course of his career, and he was gay. I seriously don't see him switching that off and just going, you know what, from now on, I'll just jerk myself off and I'll get my satisfaction out of my art. I just don't see him being around beautiful young boys or whatever you want to call it, young men for the rest of his life and not partaking. I think you're right. I think either it was Christian historians or people just are trying to see the best side of Leonardo. But again, we've stressed this. He's as human as anyone else. If he has needs, he's...
Wait. Best side? Yeah. Are you suggesting that his homosexual side...
to the Christians.
Is something...
Christian historians.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
I mean, we all have heroes. You're my hero, and I don't want to think of you in a depraved way. But to be honest, I haven't seen anything but depravity. But for those people, they probably want to think what's best. You know what I'm saying. So, yeah.
You dodged that bullet very carefully.
Never meet your heroes. And second of all, never sleep with your heroes. So I'm 0-2.
And thirdly, you know, never swallow if you do sleep with your heroes.
Exactly.
2 years later, in one of his notebooks, he doodled an older man and a young boy facing each other and wrote, "Fiorvante di Domenico of Florence is my most beloved friend, as though he were my ..." He didn't finish the sentence.
Is that him being careful again? I'm putting it out there, kind of, but I'm not giving enough rope to hang myself. I'm just toying with whoever
and he's,
my
and he's writing it in his own private notebooks. Right. Like, it's not like he didn't write it on the wall of the Palazzo della Signoria or on the wall of the Duomo. He wrote it in his own notebook, but even then,
he has
to be careful. You don't know who's going to see that.
Fucking church.
Now, not long after this, the ruler of Bologna wrote to Lorenzo de' Medici about another young man who had worked with Leonardo and adopted his name, Paolo di Leonardo da Vinci da Firenze.
Damn.
And he had been exiled from Florence because of the, quote, wicked life he had led there. It was the same reason you had to leave Charlotte, I think, Ray.
Right. What would possess this young man to take on Leonardo's name if he hadn't taken on his penis? Is it just his admiration for his work, for the older man's work, I wonder?
Yeah. Well, possibly. But the assumption seems to be that he was very close to Leonardo and was exiled from Florence for being a taking it up the poop chute. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think the gays like buggery as a term.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay. Because when I do it, it's just like a hobby. I don't know all the lingo and the ins and the outs. No pun intended. I apologize for offending anybody. I shan't do it again.
Now, one of Leonardo's boys was 13-year-old Atalante Migliorotti, a musician.
Aww.
Who he taught to play the lute or the lyre, and that's not a euphemism. He actually taught him how to play the lute. He drew him in the nude holding a lyre.
Right, drew him from behind.
Do you know what what's the difference between a lyre and a lute, Ray?
You're putting your hands or you're wrapping your hands around it and you're blowing. I don't know.
You're blowing? What?
Are you blowing? Or is this the string? But what am I talking? I don't even know. I don't even know. I was going for a body joke. Yeah. What is the difference?
A lute is like or a lyre, similar, same thing, basically. Mm. Like a small harp that you hold and you play with strings.
You grab it and you pluck. All right. I got you.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. 13 years old.
A lyre is a lute. in which the strings are attached to the yoke that lies in the same plane as the sound table and consists of two arms and a crossbar. A lute, on the other hand, is more like a banjo.
Yeah.
You know, a small squeal like a pig. Very similar looking thing.
Right. Okay. So we taught him how to and this kid I think would go on to be a successful music career. So he was talented. He had a very good teacher and they were good friends. So again, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, he actually followed LDV to Milan in 1482, where LDV painted his portrait. And it was there that Migliorotti ended up becoming a very sought-after lute builder, also sang the lead role in the opera, later became employed as a coordinator of construction of St. Peter's Basilica.
Right.
So he went on and had quite the career. I don't know how much of that had to do with his connection to LDV, but...
you have to have talent for that. And I think he also starred in Jesus Christ Superstar later on in Milan. I'm not sure on the details, but so again, there was probably...
I heard he wrote it. He wrote it and starred in it and directed the first cinematic version. Yes.
So there was some talent there, yeah.
Mm. But LDV's longest relationship that we know of was with Salai, the little devil.
Ooh.
Real name?
Right.
What was his real name, Ray?
Oh, let's see here. Little devil. I don't have that. I apologize. I know he was known as the little devil. He was very good looking and yet a naughty, naughty boy.
His real name was Gian Giacomo Caprotti da Oreno.
See, I couldn't have said that. It didn't matter even if I had had it. I couldn't have said that.
Salai is a contracted form of Saladino, which is a joke nickname LDV gave him when he was a child because he had a terrible temperament, was as dangerous as Saladin, and therefore he was an infidel and therefore a devil, but he was a little devil, so he was Salai, the little devil.
That's cute.
Vasari describes him as a graceful and beautiful youth with fine curly hair in which Leonardo greatly delighted. And he was the... delighted in rubbing his dick in it. He was also the subject of many sexual comments and innuendos, including the two dicks on the bike page. Remember, we talked about the notebook with the bicycle and there's two dicks with legs trying to fuck an asshole that's been turned into a flower. One of the dicks has Salai's name written next to it.
So Leo had a type is what I'm hearing. Cute
young boys, basically.
Curly hair. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got.
Sorry.
Can I play a song on this show? Probably not. It's like "Young Boys Are My Weakness," which is Leonardo da Vinci's song, made famous in Australia by Kate Sobrano.
Right.
Look it up, folks, if you want to hear it. It's a cover of the old Commodores song "Young Girls Are My Weakness." She changed it to "Young Boys Are My Weakness" in the early 90s.
Good,
it was a good
her.
Cover.
Equality. Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't get away with a song like that today.
No, we should try.
You'd get cancel cultured and people would call you a misogynist on iTunes. Facebook would block you.
Right. Twitter would kick
ban
you off.
Yes.
So damn fast.
Now, Salai joined Leonardo's household in 1490 at the age of 10 and later painted under the name of Andrea Salai, created several works, including the Monna Vanna. Have you seen the Monna Vanna, Ray?
No, let me pull that up.
Did your detailed, deep, endless research bring you to the Monna Vanna?
Shock, gasp, no, did not. Let me just pull that up here. I know, that's why I'm embarrassed. If you're 13 and you're willing, I'll do it. Those days are over.
That's what Leonardo said.
embarrassed about anything. Why would you not try to have... sometimes you have to hear it from someone else. Shock, gasp. No, I did not. Can you tell me about him?
That's the one I was looking for.
There you go. Okay, got
as
it.
Opposed
here.
To, as opposed to...
I got this. I was in the wrong spot. Oh, I just said that to Heather the other night. Oh, flashback. Anyway.
The Mona Vanna.
Right.
Is a naked painting of the Mona Lisa done by Sally. Now, no one knows more about women's breasts than you, Ray.
I am a nippleologist. Yes. Go ahead.
Do her breasts look right to you?
I'm not, they're not doing it for me, but like I tell Heather, look, this is the best it's ever going to get, so try to run with it. But no, it's not doing it for me. It's not.
Yeah, there's something about them. They look, they just look wrong.
Maybe
they
she's look, a Russian athlete who's about to kill James Bond. She looks pretty bulky. I don't know.
She does look pretty bulky, yeah. Bulky. Yeah, yeah.
But the face is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not incredible, detailed.
Yeah. So that's something that Sally did later in life.
Stick to sex.
May have been based on a charcoal sketch by Leonardo, some people think. Now, right. Leonardo, as I said before, was never known to have a relationship with a woman, and occasionally in his notebooks he mentions his distaste for heterosexual copulation. He wrote, "The sexual act of coitus and the body parts employed for it are so repulsive that if it were not for the beauty of the faces and the adornment of the actors and the pent-up impulse, nature would lose the human species."
As in, you want me to put my dick in what? I don't think so. Check you later.
Now, I don't know that he's necessarily just speaking of heterosexual copulation here. I think he might be speaking of all forms of sexual activity. He's basically saying, listen, don't like pussy, don't like arseholes, don't like dicks.
Oh, maybe
would
he
never
wasn't,
would right. have a bar of them unless I'm just so fucking horny. I have to, but really they're disgusting.
So is your contention maybe that he wasn't just highly sexed?
Well, he has the pent-up impulse. I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know about you, Ray, but for me,
oh God,
can't get enough.
I know.
Can't get enough of it.
I know.
You know.
I
get
know.
Me down there. Anytime, day or night, I'm down there. I'm down to clown.
In the middle of a sentence, nope, just stop typing and just boom, drop on your knees.
Yeah.
I know. I
yeah.
know. Yeah. I've seen the proof. Yeah.
You know, Chrissy called me the other day. She was on her way home, middle of the day, on her way home from the shop. She said, we had like 20 minutes, 10 minutes before our Italian lesson. She said, you know, get into the bedroom. Let's have a quickie before our Italian lesson. I was like, damn, I'm done. Like, I'm throwing
pants,
my glasses off.
Pants around my ankles already. Yeah.
I was like Clark Kent, like between my office and
Instead
the bedroom.
Instead of an S. Right.
Yeah.
Penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just running, clothes. Hey! You know, but Leonardo, apparently, not so much.
Right. So his sexuality, the level of pleasure or the time that he committed to it is basically an unknown, but there does seem to be something there where he at least liked guys sometimes. But this is Florence. That's nothing new or not common. And it doesn't seem to have gotten in the way of his art. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and this, well, obviously, well, I mean,
it's all, he's all over
I mean,
the
he
place.
Didn't, he didn't do a lot of paintings. Maybe if he was sucking less dick, we wouldn't just have 20 Da Vincis. We'd have 200 Da Vincis, 500 Da Vincis. Maybe it did get in the way.
Right. Could be.
And,
yes.
You know, he didn't paint any naked women.
That's
like,
true.
We could really use some naked Leonardo women.
Oh, the detail and the quality and a box of tissues. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And scene.
All we've got is that scary drawing of a vagina that he did in his notebook that looks like it's the Demigorgon from Stranger Things coming to eat your head.
not in a good way. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, wrong head. Now, yes, look, homosexuality was common in Florence, and particularly, it seems, among artists. Verrocchio himself never married, neither did Botticelli, who was also charged with sodomy.
Ooh.
Donatello was gay, Michelangelo was gay, Benvenuto Cellini was twice convicted of sodomy.
Right.
You know, it was referred to by Leonardo, apparently, as l'amore masculino, and it was so common in Florence that in Germany at the time, the word for gay was Florenza.
Right. I don't know. I have so many questions. One, if you're a 12 or 13 year old boy and you're put into Verrocchio's workshop and you're going to be there for years, maybe you're not gay. Maybe you don't really care yet because you're 12 years old. But Verrocchio, like you said, he never married. He doesn't seem to have women around. Is it something you just kind of gravitate to, or are you more open to it? I wonder. Like we've said on a previous show, the percentage of artists in Florence at this time, so many of them were gay. I mean, was there something in the water? What in the hell is going on? Or did they just feel safe within their own sphere of artists to let that side of them out, at least amongst their friends? I just find the percentage of it seems to defy reality. It should be roughly 50%, but it's not. It seems to be more than that.
It should be 50%?
No, why should it be 50%? But, no, that's not 50%, but something less than that, but it's clearly a lot more.
Well, I think today the numbers I've read are that about 10% of the population are homosexual and or maybe bi. I'm not sure bi might be greater than that, but I think it's 10% of the population are homosexual or non-heterosexual, maybe. But, you know, it gets back to this question, like, you know, do you become... you know, obviously the standard, what am I trying to say? The common view, I think, today amongst civilized people is that homosexuality or sexual preference, let's say that, is biological, it's genetic.
Right.
You are born that way or as your sexuality genes get switched on during puberty, you know, you get, you know, they get turned on. You're either straight or you're gay or you're both, or you're into cats or dogs or sheep. Right. We don't know. It's something.
Yeah.
We don't want to leave bestiality out of it. We don't want to, bestiality shame.
Right.
But you know, there seems to be a very high proliferation of homosexuals in, the circle of artists in Florence, in the Navy, and in prisons. Now, you know, prisons and the Navy, I guess the explanation is usually, well, look, you know, it's all I got. I'm horny. And also Mormon male missionaries.
Right.
It's all I got. I'm horny.
Yeah.
Gotta fuck something.
Like you told me, a mouth is a mouth. So
yeah, any hole in a storm, as you say. Now, I can't imagine myself in either of those situations.
Right.
Going, you know what? I think I'll suck a bit of dick.
Come here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come here. It's bend on. Over. Right. Let me jab it in. I mean, or can you whack it up me? Because I'm bored. I just can't.
I'm not there.
Look, I can understand.
Yeah.
If you're in Vegas or you're at an orgy.
Right.
And you've taken a tab of Molly or two.
Right.
And, you know, you're going off with...
Yeah.
And you're going with the flow. Like there's oiled up bodies everywhere. You're watching your wife getting hammered. and, you know, some woman licking your wife's pussy. Your wife's got a dick in her mouth. And you know, you feel someone sucking your dick. And you go, that feels like you look down, it's a guy. You go, you're already there. It feels good. I'm not, you know, I'm busy. You know, I'm
clearly talented. Right.
Now, then if he sticks his dick in your mouth, you go, well, you know, I got to reciprocate. It would be rude.
Tit for tat.
To take and not give, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I can understand that. You know, that's fine. I can understand experimenting, being in Vegas and getting a little bit drunk and going, you know what? Fuck it, we're in Vegas. You know, I don't normally gamble, but I'm in Vegas. Right, I don't normally go to Cirque du Soleil shows, but I'm in Vegas.
Right.
I don't normally let, you know, Elvis impersonators marry me off to hookers, but I'm in Vegas. Fuck it. And I don't normally suck dick, but hey, look, I'm in Vegas. You got to try everything once. I understand that as well, but you're right. Like, there, I've often wondered, did you have to be gay to be a great Renaissance artist? Like, was that part of the deal?
Well, I don't think so. What about the theory that maybe a lot of these people, you know, because word gets around, maybe they gravitated towards Florence or they knew they would be more accepted, not accepted, tolerated might be the better word. I don't know. But for whatever reason, the percentage of artists in Renaissance Florence at this time is certainly way above 10%.
So what's higher than 10%? Homosexuals in Florence.
Yes, the
and they're not all
artists.
Great artists.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know how many artists there were or what percentage of the population they would have been. And obviously we're just talking about them. But we're talking about the most famous ones. But it turns out the greats,
yes.
The greats were mostly gay. Now, I also, I mean, I can get that, like, your options back then where you could have sex, if you wanted to have heterosexual sex, you could have sex with prostitutes.
Yes.
Which was probably not overly expensive, but artists didn't have a lot of money. They were, as we're going to find out in the next episode, they got paid fuck all.
Right, on a good day.
You know, if you had sex with just a non-prostitute woman out of marriage, that was a sin and frowned upon.
Yes.
She could get pregnant, then you had to get married, or you had to get married, and then you had to do that whole fucking thing. And there was a dowry, you know, there were dowries involved, and you had to, you had to pay for a house full of kids, no contraception, so you end up with fucking 50 kids, and you just want to paint. You don't have time for all that shit, but you're horny.
Right.
You could, but again, like, you know, then I think, well, you know, you would just jerk off or you would go see a prostitute. What would you really go, well, fuck it, I better, you know, just
be
do
gay?
Young boys?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Yeah.
And we also know that, you know, okay, you go back further, you go back to ancient Greece, ancient Rome, homosexuality, particularly with young boys, was very acceptable.
Established.
And these guys, the Renaissance intellectuals, you know, were big fans of ancient Greece and ancient Rome. That was part of the whole humanist movement. So maybe they were like, well, listen, it's good enough for
Plato.
Sulla.
Right.
Yeah. Good enough for Plato. Good enough for Sulla. Good enough for Socrates. Fuck it. Maybe he knew something that we don't know. Maybe that's why Aristotle was this great philosopher. Socrates, was this great philosopher. Because, you know, he diddled little boys. I mean, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
Good enough for Tiberius to have little babies sucking on his dick. I mean, who am I to judge?
I'm not Jesus. Yeah. So, you know. Is he here? Oh, shit. Is he here? No, he's not here. Okay. Yeah, like I said, I'm
just his foreskin.
I'm not Jesus.
Yeah. So it is fascinating, though. I mean, we joke.
But
we're going to be accused of being, you know, homophobic.
Totally
joke, but
yes,
there is definitely something going on in the water.
I think the point we're trying to make is there seems to be a high percentage of the greats in Florence at this time. It is illegal. It is against what the church is teaching. And so we find it fascinating because the numbers don't seem to, they seem to be counterintuitive. But at the same time, like you just said, you know, Leonardo is writing about it in his book. There's plenty of songs and poems about sodomy. So it is a part of the culture, even though it's a crime. I guess these people were like, well, I'm an artist. I'm supposed to be on the outside. I'm supposed to be different. This is what we do.
And getting accused of sodomy in Florence was no small affair.
Exactly.
The Officers of the Night were created in 1432. After that period, about 400 men a year were accused of sodomy. About 60 per year were convicted and sentenced to prison, exile, or death.
Damn. But they still did it. It's not like this wiped out homosexuality in Florence. It still it was thriving, no pun intended.
Yeah, it's like the war on drugs, man. Exactly. Just made it sexier when you knew you could die.
Counterculture.
I mean, right. Come even harder knowing that you could
this
die.
This is for you, Gerald. I don't know names in Florence. Anyway.
Well, apparently you do know someone called Gerald. That flowed pretty easily. Where did that come from?
No, actually, it's the name of my penis, which we'll get to later in the show the next.
Right, Gerald.
Anyway.
Sexy name. Do you dress him up in a little top hat and a monocle and a little suit?
There is a hat and a scarf. But again, I'll send you a picture.
Later. Does he have a cane?
He can't spats? Hold it. I got him a cane. This is so embarrassing. I got him a cane, but there was unless I glued it on, he's not holding it. He's not. So it was a waste.
Just a little hook. Needs a hook at the top. It just hooks over the top, you know? Could creative be. Thinking. That's what I'm here for. That's why I get paid the big bucks.
Well, when I was younger, his name was Excalibur. Now it's Gerald because I'm older. Again, we'll get to it later.
In a section of one of LDV's notebooks called On the Penis, which was his favorite place to be,
right?
He described how the penis has a mind of its own. And he wrote, the penis sometimes displays an intellect of its own. When a man may desire it to be stimulated, it remains obstinate and goes its own way, sometimes moving on its own without the permission of the owner. Whether he is awake or sleeping, it does what it desires.
Damn right.
Often when a man wishes to use it, it desires otherwise. And often it wishes to be used and the man forbids it. Yes. Therefore, it appears, not me, but okay. Therefore, it appears that this creature possesses a life and an intelligence separate from the man.
So erectile dysfunction existed back then as well. They just, I don't know if they called it that. Hey.
Called it being shit-faced drunk, I think, is what it is. Yeah.
Probably. Shit-faced. Anyway, so he was making these observations. How many times do we read on the whatever of man or on the gospel or whatever? And then he takes this very noble title on the penis. So, again, he's having fun. Yeah. But, again, at the same time, he's talking about something that he probably has experienced firsthand.
He wrote, man is wrong to be ashamed of giving it a name or showing it.
Mm-hmm.
Always covering and concealing something that deserves to be adorned and displayed with ceremony.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Oh my God, how many times have I had to tell Heather that? Anyway, so we're getting too personal now.
Well, speaking of showing it, if you go back to Sally, look up his Wikipedia page. Look for his drawing of the Angelo Incarnato, sometimes said to be a drawing by Leonardo, but quite possibly Leonardo maybe Sally may have worked on it with him. But it's a drawing of a young man with long curly hair, holding like a thin sort of robe around himself with a hugely erect penis.
Oh, yes.
And note the absence of pubes.
Oh, Manscaped.
Manscaped.
He's pure as the driven snow. Right.
And a weird looking breast there. Like that's quite a feminine looking breast. Looks like a woman with a dick.
Right.
I mean, it's an A cup, but
not that we're judging. We're just saying it's mixed messages.
Huh? Right. Yeah, more than a handful's a waste. My policy always has been. Anywho.
Anyway. Good to know.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot.
Now in his art.
Yes.
Leonardo's art, this is not Sally's. In Leonardo's art, men are often drawn completely naked, shown in full length.
Yes.
With butts and penises.
And they're beautiful.
Women are always fully clothed and only shown from the waist up.
It didn't fire his imagination, one could easily believe. Sorry, Esmeralda, I just don't want to see you naked. I don't want to draw you. It's not my thing. I'm not going to be into it. I'm not going to be passionate about it. But if you got a brother, maybe we could talk. I don't know.
Do we read too much into that? But this is the guy who painted the Mona Lisa, right? The most famous painting in the world. It's a painting of a woman, Ginevra, that we talked about in a recent episode. He painted lots of Madonnas.
Yeah.
He painted lots of women out of all of the paintings, well, the 20 paintings or so that we have of his.
Right.
A bunch of them are women, featuring women. So he painted lots of women. He just never painted them in a way where they were remotely sexual, as opposed to Botticelli, who he didn't like.
Right.
Didn't like his paintings, as we'll see. But yeah. Botticelli painted beautiful women, very sexual, very erotic.
Yeah.
Leonardo, not into that. Painting erotic men, but not erotic women. Now, Botticelli was also gay.
Huh. Huh.
But painted beautiful women. So, you know, he was like, listen, I got to give the people what they want. So Leonardo, what I'm saying is Leonardo was a selfish cunt, basically. You know, he could have painted sexy paintings of the women for the men.
Yeah, hands skill. No, nothing. We get nothing.
No, nothing. Nothing.
Right.
No nude Da Vinci ladies.
That survived.
For us to admire.
Exactly. I don't know much about Leda and the Swan, but there's supposedly one exception that was lost in time. But you're right. I mean, there could have been a whole row of beautifully naked, very detailed shadowing, the whole thing, the three-dimensional, you know, beautiful women, but he chose not to do that.
Now, his father, of course, was a successful lawyer, legal advisor to the Medici, a lot of the top guilds, a lot of the top monasteries and churches,
mm-hmm.
had three wives, five children, and a mistress.
Hell yeah.
Rocking
with his cock out.
He's your straight, successful.
Yes. Established.
Establishment. Yes. Insider.
Yeah.
LDV, on the other hand, is a gay, illegitimate artist, twice accused of sodomy.
Wow. The apple fell from the tree and rolled down a mountain.
Sorry. He and landed on somebody's dick. He
right.
He is definitely an outsider.
Yes.
But
right.
He managed to turn it into an asset. He seems to have been very comfortable being an outsider.
Right.
He didn't shun it, wasn't worried about it. Yeah, sometimes he was lonely. He says it in his notebooks.
Yes.
But really, he was like, well, you know, society doesn't want me. That's fine. I'm going to study science, military equipment, engineering, nature, painting, architecture.
Optics.
I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to do other stuff with my time.
Right.
You don't want me. That's fine. I can keep myself busy. Thank you very much.
The one I just have to say, and we've kind of been saying this without maybe directly saying it, but for everything that we've talked about his notebook, that we've talked about his life, even though he's still in his 20s, you don't get a sense of a ton of self-hatred or self-loathing or whatever. Like you said, he's fascinated with his own talent. He seems to be stimulated either intellectually or emotionally and or physically, young men or whatever, but you're not getting the sense of he just hates himself and he's thinking about cutting his wrists. I mean, this is a guy who is an outsider. He knows he's an outsider, and to a degree, like you just said, doesn't really care all that much. It's not getting in his way where some people would be bitching and moaning and they would fill up pages of their notebook with lamentations, not this guy. And so, yeah, I don't think it bothers him that his father now, you know, has another family. He's going to have tons of children. He's going to have sons. He's going to have an heir one day. I don't think Leo was bothered by that. I think in some ways he's fascinated, obsessed with his own ability, which makes him very fascinating.
Hmm. Now, around the time of the salty ass allegations, Leonardo was working on a devotional portrait of San Sebastian.
Right.
The 3rd century martyr who we've talked about in the past, got tied to a tree, shot with arrows, later clubbed to death.
Damn.
During the Emperor Diocletian's persecution of Christians.
Right.
Big fan, big subject.
Yes.
In Renaissance art.
Yeah.
They loved paintings of Saint Sebastian.
Martyr.
Supposedly provided them with protection against the plague. You just had a painting of that. Get thee gone, plague. I have a painting of Saint Sebastian on my wall. Plague's like, oh, fuck, sorry.
We're out of here. Yeah, run.
Didn't see that.
Run away. Yeah, not so much.
Now, according to a list of possessions that Leonardo compiled around about the time, he drew 8 studies of the work,
right,
but never actually got around to painting the work.
Oh, right.
And when we talked about Botticelli's painting of Saint Sebastian, I seem to recall that it was very erotic.
Yes.
And it seems to me that one of the the real reason, it's the plague. The real reason was it was a way of having an erotic painting of a naked man.
You just put it
on your wall, being penetrated with arrows, which was code for dick.
Eroticism in your home under the guise of being a saint.
Mwah! Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that's whenever, Chrissy catches me watching porn, I'm always like, no, you don't understand. It's not porn. Off. It's keeping COVID away.
Right.
These are magical incantations that protect me against COVID.
Right.
Reminds me of this classic old Derek and Clive audio skit. Derek and Clive, for those who don't know, Dudley Moore and Peter Cook, British comedians. Americans probably know Dudley Moore from his Hollywood movies he made in the 80s, like Arthur and...
Arthur 2.
What was the other... What was it?
Arthur 2.
Arthur 2. No, he did. He had a TV show, I think, right. Dudley for a while. He did another big one. Oh, he's in 10, Blake Edwards, yes. 10, Foul Play with Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase in the late 70s.
Sorry.
Became a big movie star. But before that, he was a British comic, and he and Peter Cook, who American audiences will probably know as the priest in The Princess Bride, as Marwedge. Marwedge.
Is what brings they us did. To Guava. Right.
Yeah. That's such a common line. Even Fox says that. I went up and gave Chrissy got up this morning and I gave her a kiss in the kitchen and Fox went, Marwedge. He's never seen the movie, but he just knows that quote, right? Because we say that. Marwedge. So they did they're this filthy, filthy comedy duo. And I've talked about it before, I think, on one of our shows. It was, I think, Dudley Moore's way of trying to keep Peter Cook sober or vice versa.
Oh, God.
I think it was that way. One of them had a massive alcohol problem. No, Dudley Moore did later on in life too. But one of them had a massive alcohol problem. The other one said, let's just sit down and get together every day and just record some shit into a microphone as a way of keeping them sober and keeping them busy. And they were put out eventually as records, Derek and Clive. And, growing in high school in the 80s, we had all of their recordings and all Monty Python's recordings, and we all listened to them obsessively. Well, they're talking about Dudley saying that he was having a wank the other night, where he got a toilet roll and stuck his knob in it, greased it up and stuck his knob in it, and then attached it to a model train set. And every time the train went across a bridge or something, it gave him a little shock. And then he came everywhere on the train set. And then his wife walked in and she said, oh, my God, what are you doing? And he said, no, it's not what it looks like. I've got cancer. And the doctor said the only way to cure myself is to put my knob in this. And that's not. Come, that's cancer medicine, and I have to eat it now. To anyway, I don't know how I got onto that, but
I wait for you to say.
If people want to know where my filthy, filthy sense of humor comes from, it comes from listening to Derek and Clive in the 80s when I was a teenager. Yeah. It was the funniest shit ever.
I thought you were going to say where the wife was going to go, well, eat it. But
and he did. Oh, he does. He eats it. Yeah. It's part of the sketch. Oh, look it up. Derek and Clive, I was having a wank. Oh, I was having a wank is the name of the sketch. Classic stuff. Yes. So that was why they had naked men on the wall.
Right.
And said, oh, no, it's a saint. Now, Vasari wrote that a Saint Sebastian portrait by Bartolomeo Bandinelli was so erotically charged that, quote, parishioners admitted in the confessional that the beautiful nude prompted unclean thoughts.
Oh.
So it's not just my, you know, extremely warped imagination here. Right. Even Vasari said, people were
jerking off.
People were jerking off because of these paintings of Saint Sebastian. Now, one of LDV's missing Saint Sebastian drawings actually turned up. We have quite a few of them. One of them turned up at the end of 2016.
Wow.
Lost for 500 years, well, thought to be lost for 500 years. A retired French doctor brought some old artworks that had been collected by his father to an auction house.
Damn.
They go, fuck me, this is a Da Vinci, sold for $16 million.
Oh, my God. That would be the best antiques roadshow ever. Oh, my God, this is a Leonardo. But, yeah, that's a life-changing possession to have that. And if you look at the drawing, I mean, yeah, he's pretty buff. He's got the muscles. He's got the chest. He's got the abs. His face is torment and innocence, but he's still pretty hot. Pretty hot.
Hot!
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 He's sexually hot.
Hey, hi, can you help me? What's your name? My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt. Roosevelt, what town are you stationed in? I'm stationed in Poontang. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot in this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Well, can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, and it's hot, I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot. You can be a little thing. I saw it so damn hot. I saw one of those little guys in the orange robe burst into flames. It's that hot. You know what I'm talking about. Well, what do you think it's going to be like tonight? It's going to be hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle. Thank you, Roosevelt. Here's a song coming your way right now.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Love him.
Speaking of things that sold at auction, a couple of days ago, a Botticelli painting, Young Man Holding a Roundel, sold for $120 million at Sotheby's.
Fuck. Oh, my God.
Believed to have been bought by some rich Saudi, I think.
Jeez.
It was last acquired by the late real estate billionaire Sheldon Solow at auction in 1982 for $1.7
million. Wow.
And just sold for $120 million.
That's how you turn a profit. That? You should put that on your show with Tony. You buy some art, you hold it for a while, and then you jack up the price and you walk away and live like a king.
Well, Sheldon Solow died in 2020.
So it didn't work out for him.
He had it.
Yeah.
Hanging on a wall, maybe, all those times in New York City where he lived.
Right.
Died age 92 in November 2020.
Wow.
Anyway, back to just finishing up this episode. So LDV finally broke away from Verrocchio and set up his own workshop in 1477. And everyone went, holy shit, Leonardo's got his own studio. He's the greatest artist in history.
Woo!
Fuck it. No, I don't think. No. let's not. I don't think we want to.
So...
over the next five years, how many commissions did he get, Ray?
23? No, I took the 20 out and just three.
Oh,
yeah.
Just the three.
Just the three.
Over 5 years, he got three commissions. One.
Yeah.
He never started.
Oh, okay.
The other two.
Yeah.
He never finished.
Oh, it's like me and sex. Okay.
You've only had... Three in the last 5 years. Yeah.
Pretty much.
One, never finished.
I think I'm due one soon. Anyway.
Certainly. Heather never finished.
Right. No, she has sex all the time. The point I want to make is...
just not with you.
Right. So he's 24 years old. He finally breaks out, has his own workshop. We're thinking gangbusters here. Not so much.
Yeah, it failed. He could not make money. in his own studio. And some of the commissions that we got, which we'll get into in the next episode, didn't come with any money.
Right.
They literally paid him in sticks of wood. firewood that he got paid in. Well, he would have got paid in firewood if he'd finished, and he didn't even finish. But that, and that's probably why he didn't finish. He's like, really? I'm working this hard for a fucking pile of firewood, really? His first commission in 1478 was to paint an altarpiece for the chapel in the Palazzo della Signoria, which you would think is a big fucking deal.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
His father probably helped him get the job.
Right.
Because his father obviously was well connected. And pretty much every commission he got at this stage, he got from his father's pulling strings for him. From the studies he did for this, it seems he was going to paint a scene of shepherds who had come to pay their respects to baby Jesus. He never started the painting, but the sketches that he did were inspiration for a painting that he did begin, which has been called the most influential unfinished painting in the history of art.
Damn.
But we will have to wait to next episode before we get into that.